WWC Engineering.
Hi, this is Joe Steger with Century 21 BHJ Realty. As you're all aware, there's construction happening on Main Street again. We know it can be inconvenient, but let's not forget to support our downtown businesses. Century 21 BHJ Realty encourages you to shop, dine, and explore the downtown area. The sidewalks remain open, and there are plenty of parking options available. Let's keep our downtown community thriving by showing our support. Century 21 BHJ Realty, supporting our community since 1908 and encouraging you to help support our downtown during construction and always.
You hear that? Why, that's the sound of your lawn not getting mowed right. Those blades are out of kilter, and that carb is set to choke instead of yodel. You have to add air to your mower tires every time you use it? Well, that's not good for the environment. Using up all that air causing global warming? Hendel Service Center can take the hickey up out of your giddy up and have that mower running smoother than Tennessee whiskey. Hendel Service Center, located on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
The following message presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Visit efirstfederal.bank.
Who wants to play chicken poop bingo? Our 4-H Club set a goal to raise $10,000 to support Wyoming State Fair Endowment and improvements for the Sheridan County Fairgrounds.
How the game works. There are 100 squares for $100 each, and place 3 chickens on the bingo board. The first chicken to poop on their number wins $1,000, second wins $500, and third wins $250. If you are interested, please call Jessica Barnes at 307-630-9958.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning and welcome to Public Pulse on this rainy Wednesday. It's a little cold on top of the mountain, so if you are heading over to Buffalo, just please be warned. It was a blizzard on top when I was coming over this morning, but not for very long. 3 or 4 miles is all it was, but it is pretty intense up there. So please be safe. Take your time. I am joined this morning by Wyoming Game and Fish Department Public Information Specialist Christina Schmidt. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning.
You just got home from an amazing vacation. What's it like going from someplace beautiful and tropical to back to the cold, wet?
Very hard stop to your vacation, you know, coming from, somewhere warm. And
I think that microphone's had some issues. Let me help you out. There we go. I think that one's working.
Great.
Okay, welcome back.
Had a great vacation, but you come back to cold and wet, but it seems like the winter we missed has arrived.
I know, right? It's one of those situations where I kind of feel like it got warm enough to rain, and then, you know, it's still cold enough at night that you got to really take some precautions. And the elevation is another thing, because I thought it was just going to be rain all the way to work, no issue. And boy, I got up to the top of that mountain and I thought, I really hope this doesn't last very long, but it didn't.
It can always be kind of very different between here and Buffalo. Just really different conditions. That Piney Creek area is just,
It's
just high enough. I think it changes everything.
And the wind.
And the wind. Oh my gosh.
I told my friend the other day, I live in the wrong state to hate wind.
You know, and I feel like we don't get it that much. When we do, it seems to be, you know, pretty intense for a short amount of time compared to other places where it's kind of just on all the time.
Rollins.
Rollins or, you know, even Casper, you know, some of the places that are like windy, windy. But boy, it sure seems like we've had a fairly windy spring this year.
We really have. My first wife moved to Wyoming with me from Oregon. And she, I think, has wore a ponytail since.
Yeah.
Can't wear the hair down anywhere you go.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, how have things been over at Game and Fish this spring?
Good. Yeah. Got done with the season setting process. So, of course, that was, you know, I think last time we talked, that was ongoing. And that's always a very busy time for everyone getting seasons ready to go. So those were the commission set seasons at their April meeting. So those are all ready to go. So If you've put in for something prior to the actual finalization of the seasons, I would encourage folks to go to the website, take a look, see what actually got finally approved. If need be, you can make adjustments to, you know, your application if something got changed. But definitely worth taking a look to see what the final seasons were set as. So that was in April and got through that and gearing up for several other things.
Oh yeah, the governor recently purchased and donated yet another bison hunt for the conservation.
Correct.
So that raffle is ongoing currently, correct? People can jump on there and see if they can get that.
Yes, and gosh, I don't have all the specifics on the top of my head, but yes, he did donate a wild bison license. I believe tickets are $10. I think you can only purchase one.
I think it's one per person.
One per person, and it is for Wyoming residents only. So, certainly if you're interested in that, make a purchase. All that money gets reinvested back into conservation through the Big Game License Coalition. So definitely goes to a good cause. Pretty good odds, you know. Everyone has their one chance. Yep. So.
You can't go in there and buy $3,000 worth of tickets, you know. So I kind of like that. One per person.
Yeah, you know, everyone runs these things a little different, and that one is limited to one per person and Wyoming residents only.
Now, when it comes to Super Tag, when do we usually run that? What time of year?
Oh, gosh. So we changed that.
Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot here. You don't.
Yes, we have those, I believe, available now. I'd better double check that. Yeah,
that's okay. I'll double check.
And those
well.
Are different. You can those you choose a species that you want to enter in for. You can purchase as many tickets as you want, and that is open to residents and non-residents. And I believe there's 10 licenses for different species, and it's been very successful, very popular. It's grown every year. It's been going several years now. And again, all of that money does get reinvested back into conservation. Yeah. So,
And the reason I bring that up is just because I was talking to some friends of mine that I grew up with back in Star Valley. And boy, they put in every year that the governor has put that bison hunt forward. They all purchase it. And they go for the super tag every year too. And I was actually really surprised to learn as many of them did as they do, because they really love that. And you know, one thing that I have found throughout the years is that hunters themselves are almost more concerned about conservation than the average person.
Yes, and that's been true for a very long time. You know, hunters and anglers pay for conservation.
Yeah.
You know, most state agencies, including ours, are funded primarily with hunting and fishing license dollars. So, for sure, I think any hunter you talk to would consider themselves a conservationist first and foremost.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of conservation, wildlife habitat management areas, nothing's open as of yet, right?
Correct. We have five of these in the Sheridan region, some of which are quite old, like the Amsden Creek, I believe, was purchased in 1944, Kearns in 49. These were purchased back then with initial Pittman Robertson dollars when that program got started. So Pittman Robertson Act was some legislation, again, for conservation. There's a small federal excise tax on firearms, ammunition, hunting equipment that gets collected by the federal government and then redistributed to the states. So back in the day in the 40s, you know, when this program got started, a lot of that money that got sent back to the states was used to purchase some properties like this. So Amsden and Kern certainly are some of the oldest around. They were purchased, depending on the habitat unit, they may have different reasons for being purchased and managed. So Amsden and Kern's Big Game Winter Range is the primary purpose. But for example, on the other side of the mountain over by Lovell, Yellowtail, they focus more on waterfowl.
Oh, wow.
Production, yeah. Things like that. So we have dozens of these around the state. They all have different management objectives, but they all are managed in one way or another for some conservation and management of species. So, yeah, we are very lucky here. We have five spread out across basically the foothills of the Bighorns and even a little further, like up above KC. So because they are managed for big game winter range, primarily here in our area, they are closed to human presence for most of the winter. So they are open in the fall for hunting season, but then they close down and let those animals have the winter undisturbed on those areas. So they are closed to all human presence. They are currently still closed. Four of them will open up May 15th at 8 a.m. So that's the Amston Creek, Budlove, Ellis, and Edo Taylor. And the Kearns stays closed. That's up by the Montana state line. That actually stays closed until 8 a.m. on June 1st. So most of them open up here in a week or so. Kearns remains closed.
Now, when it comes to people kind of heading out there, what are they really, what are the recreationalists or the hunters use it for outside of hunting in the fall?
So this time of year, you know, on opening day, there will be quite a bit of traffic, folks coming looking for shed antlers. But, you know, after that, there are lots of different things people can do on these areas. Some people horseback ride. Some people go hiking. Some people go birding. In fact, Amston and Kearns got designated as important bird areas through the Audubon Society a few years ago. So that's one of the favorite things I like to do. There is some limited camping available on some of these places. There may be fishing opportunities, you know, depending on where you're going. So lots of recreational opportunities. And those are all allowed as long as they don't interfere, again, with that primary purpose of protecting big game winter range.
Boy, I'll bet some of the fishing out there is pretty dang good because they're undisturbed for a huge part of the year.
Yeah, again, depends on where you're going. I know Edo Taylor, you know, Budlove has some ponds. Edo Taylor has some stream access. So definitely popular for a lot of different things. And again, Amston, I know people go out there pretty regularly because it's, you know, fairly close to Dayton, pretty close to Sheridan, and it gets a fair amount of traffic. Some people just go to take a hike down the two track. I know I do education programs out there. It's just, just a great opportunity to, you know, somewhere close to town, but yet great wildlife watching opportunities.
And when it comes to birding, that's one thing that I think, you know, in my youth, I thought, well, there's just a couple folks that do that, until I went out with you guys on a bird count and realized there's a lot of people out there who go out every year and do their best to see as many birds as possible. They catalog what they see. I mean, all these, you know, the larger societies really keep track of all this information, and it's mostly gathered by civilians.
Yeah, I do a bit of that myself. I'm not an expert birder, but I like to do it. It's one of those hobbies you can do anywhere, you know, anywhere you go in the world, you can look at birds. And
yeah.
And like you said, a lot of people have life lists where they keep a list. In fact, one of my previous coworkers, she's retired now, but she and her husband have traveled literally all over the world and have verified, you know, actually gone and seen thousands of birds on their list. And that when they plan a vacation, they plan it around where do we want to go and see new birds.
That's incredible. That kind of dictates where they go and when. And I think that's great. One more question before I go to a commercial break. You said that people can go out there and shed hunt. They need a license or anything to go out and shed hunt on these habitat areas?
No, not in our area, no. No, so I would direct people to our website. There are areas of the state that have different restrictions.
Okay.
But for us, you no. But again, you need to abide by that opening date. You may not go in early. E-bikes, we get a lot of questions with e-bikes. People want to take those. They have to stay on established existing roads. You cannot off-road with an e-bike.
Don't go off making your own trail.
Exactly. We're trying to protect these areas. And along those lines, especially with all this moisture we're getting, depending on what road conditions may be like in the past, I know for sure, like out at Kern, sometimes they may have to close off some roads to prevent resource damage on these opening days. So just making folks aware, again, trying to protect these areas. And one thing we do get a lot of confusion on, I want to make clear to folks, our walk-in areas, so walk-in hunting, walk-in fishing, our hunter management areas, those are not open for shed hunting or any other recreational activities. Those are, you know, we have existing partnerships with landowners for very specific species during specific times of the year. So those are not open just for general public use, except during the designated times. So we get a lot of questions, a lot of confusion on that, that people think those are just open and they're not, unless you get express permission from that landowner for whatever activity you would like to do, but they are not open for general public use.
And I think a lot of people out there would probably agree. You don't want to look out your window and see folks on your land that you don't know. You know, I can totally agree with that one. All right, on that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We'll have more with our Wyoming Game and Fish Department right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE, 103.9 FM.
Give your graduate a gift they can use anywhere with a First Federal Bank and Trust Visa gift card. As a customer, you can load up to $1,000 on a gift card with no purchase fee. With a Visa gift card, they can buy gas, dine out, or treat themselves to something special. The options are endless. Make their big day even more memorable with a First Federal Bank and Trust Visa gift card. Visit First Federal at 671 Illinois Street to purchase yours today. Member FDIC.
Wake up and smell the savings, beverage lovers, because at your locally owned McDonald's, they have your beverage cravings covered with any size coffee for $1. That's right. Whether you're a small, medium, or large kind of coffee lover, you can enjoy your favorite cup of joe without breaking the bank for a buck. But hold on to your straws. Quench your thirst any time of the day with any size soft drink for $1.29. McDonald's. Treat yourself to a sip-tastic experience. Sheridan, Buffalo, and Gillette.
Saturday, May 18th at the Johnson County Fairgrounds, 40 of the top PRCA bull riders will compete on their journey to qualify for the NFR. Gates open at 5 p.m. with food by Nubs Barbecue. The first shoot gate opens at 7. Join the after party with live music at the Cowboy Saloon. Safe rides will be available. Get your tickets at the gate or online at foreverwest.events. For updates, like us on Facebook at Forever West Productions. Extreme Bulls, sponsored in part by Sheridan Media.
Good health. Everybody wants it. Not everybody's got it, but the Health Nut has it. An entire health food grocery store and gift shop. Organic salad bar, soup, sandwich, and smoothies counter to sit and have the most healthy lunch in town. An aisle after aisle of health-giving supplements. You want it. The Health Nut's got it. And everything else you need for a healthy life. The Health Nut in Sheridan's 5th Street Mall.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Hi, I'm Lydia.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Emmy.
We are proudly representing the Bighorn High School Theater Department.
Our team has the opportunity to travel to Indiana to compete at the National Thespian Festival in June, and we are seeking funding to help us get there.
If you are able to help, please send any donations to Bighorn High School. If you have any questions, please call 674-8190.
Thank you so much for your consideration. We are looking forward to representing the Sheridan and Bighorn communities on the national stage.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning, I'm speaking with the Wyoming Game and Fish Department Public Information Specialist, Christina Schmidt. Bears, they're out, they're active, and I, according to what you've told me, there's already been a couple run-ins. Christina, what do we know?
Well, so I only know of one conflict at this point, and it involves backyard domestic livestock, which is something we've been seeing increasingly in the past few years. You know, folks have backyard chickens, they have beehives, they have goats, they maybe have pigs. Or
the old backyard garden is kind of turning into the backyard livestock area.
It is,
lately,
it
right?
is, which is great.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
It's great. We're just trying to do a little more education for folks who have those animals that, you know, there are precautions you need to take to protect those animals, but also their feed, their supplements, things like that are attractants as well. So certainly, you know, if you have beehives or chickens, you know, put thought into how are you going to protect them and discourage, you know, a bear or other wildlife from getting your animals. I mean, I have a friend who raised chickens and had mink get in and kill a bunch of the chickens, you know, skunks or fox or...
my dad used an electric fence.
Exactly. Electric fences. And that's one thing. Certainly we encourage folks, go talk to your local farm and ranch store. There's lots of designs online that can be very effective. You do have to maintain and test them regularly, make sure they're on and working, but they can be very effective in protecting your critters. You know, a hard-sided building, you know, bringing them in to a hard-sided building every night, their feed, their supplements, all of those. We have seen bears get into those.
Bears love molasses as much as the next
exactly.
guy, right?
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, people may leave that out just for convenience, for feeding and whatnot, but keep in mind that is an attractant for bears. So, again, please keep that in a hard-sided building. Keep it in a closed garage or shed or something like that. You know, it's just something to be aware of if you're going to raise these critters that you need to protect them from various wildlife species. But yeah, certainly electric fence. I would encourage folks, do some research, see if that for what you have on your in your backyard or on your acreage, if that's going to work for you. But they can be very effective.
You know, one other thing that I didn't think about, and longtime listeners know, I bring up every year because I was one of the people who wouldn't have thought of this. My barbecuer is attracting bears, and I don't know it.
Yeah. We encourage folks to take a look around your place and anything that might have something that smells good to a bear that they might want to investigate. And, yeah, barbecue grills are a big one as well. You know, there's lots of meaty bits, grease, things
smells
like that.
Smells great.
Exactly. So they're going to come investigate that. And so, again, if you can get that into a hard-sided building or a shed, you're going to eliminate the potential for a conflict. Bird feeders, that's a big one. I know people like to feed birds. Again,
I do, yeah.
People like to feed, and you can do that in a way that you're not going to create a conflict with a bear. So take a look around, see where you can put a bird feeder. It's going to be out of the reach of bears. Also, maybe just put a little bit of food instead of filling the whole thing up, but a small amount that the birds are going to eat in a short amount of time. So, and then if there's not much there, a bear can't get to it. Also maybe bring it in the evening when you get home from work, right before bed, bring it in, put it out first thing in the morning. But really just keeping it out of the reach of bears is going to be ideal. And all of those extra precautions are going to help prevent a conflict because bird seed is very attractive. Hummingbird nectar, very attractive to bears.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a great food reward if they got that. Garbage, another big one. Please put that out the morning of pickup. Again, creates a little extra work, right? If you have full trash on Tuesday, but it doesn't get picked up till Thursday, please keep it in the garage. Please keep it in a shed out of the reach of bears. Don't set it on the curb where it's going to sit there for 2 or 3 days. Not just a bear, but you don't want a skunk or a raccoon or anything else.
What
your neighbor's dog.
Yeah.
You don't want any of that getting into your garbage and making a mess. Those are all kind of the big ones. But again, take a look around. You know, if you have horses and you have grain or again, supplements of any sort, all of that's going to be very interesting to a bear.
You know, when I was a kid and we had calves, we fed them a grain mix that was covered in a molasses. And holy cow, you could smell that stuff from my bedroom. I could smell that molasses. It was outside in the shed, not very far off from my window, but man, I could smell that stuff. And once you know what that is, you can pick it up. And I could only imagine how far away bears can smell that if I could smell it. Because their sense of smell is incredibly acute, isn't it?
It is. They are very smart. They have an excellent sense of smell. They can travel long distances. They're omnivores. They need a lot of calories. So, you know, this time of year, they've been in a den for 4 months. They're out, they're looking for food, and that's going to continue all the way until the fall. So starting now, all the way through November, really need the public's help in preventing these conflicts. And if you do have what you think is a bear, something gets into your child, something happens, any sort of conflict, report that right away.
Yeah.
The problem that we see a lot of times is if someone does leave their trash out or their bird feeders and a bear gets into it for 2 or 3 days and they just go out and they pick it up but they leave it out and then they pick it up the next day if they get into it. You know, that's creating a pattern in that bear's behavior.
Back.
Exactly. So, and our management options become very few. When a bear becomes what we call habituated, where they're used to, hey, I know this is a known food source here. I need to keep coming back because I'm going to get the calories I want. So any potential conflict, you think you have a bear in the area, please call and report that. And that gives us more management options.
Euthanizing bears is one of the saddest situations, in my opinion, because it's one of those situations that I feel it's almost unavoidable, but it can be avoided. You know, we live in bear country. That's the honest truth about the situation. But once they kind of realize, hey, this big, tall thing isn't going to hurt me, I can go in and get what I want. Once that fear is gone, boy, we've got an issue and we got to take care of it. So, folks, even if you live on the outskirts of town, please, you don't have to be in a deep rural area to have to deal with this. We deal with this here in Sheridan all the time. So if you live on the outskirts of town, make sure that you're taking bear precautions. You're being bear wise. And there is a fantastic webpage up on the website of the Wyoming Game and Fish that specifically deals with these types of situations. That gives you tips and hints on how to prevent bears from wandering into your yard. Let's see if we can go a couple years without having one become a Sheridan resident. Now, real quick, before I leave you, Free Fishing Day. When's this happening?
June 1st. Every year we have a Free Fishing Day. It's the first Saturday that coincides with National Boating and Fishing Week. So this year it's June 1st. You do not need a license to go out and fish. However, do pick up the regulations. You do still have to abide by all of the other regulations, creel limits, things like that. So you can check out the regulations online. You can download them, read through them. You can pick up a physical copy at the regional office or other licensed selling agents and take that with you and go out and have a good time.
It was fantastic. We were up at Tyhack 1 year, and I didn't realize it was on Free Fishing Day. We just went up for a walk. And holy cow, all the dads and all their kids were just all over the place with lines in the water. It was cute as heck. Loved seeing it. Christina, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning, my friend. Braving the weather to get here once again. All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the National Alliance on Mental Illness. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Share.
Give your graduate a gift they can use anywhere with a First Federal Bank and Trust Visa gift card. As a customer, you can load up to $1,000 on a gift card with no purchase fee. With a Visa gift card, they can buy gas, dine out, or treat themselves to something special. The options are endless. Make their big day even more memorable with a First Federal Bank and Trust Visa gift card. Visit First Federal at 671 Illinois Street to purchase yours today. Member FDIC.
It's the 108th anniversary of PO News in downtown Sheridan, and that can only mean one thing. A big old party with all their friends. May 11th from 4 to 8 p.m., they'll be partying in the street with their famous Sheridan beer, brewed by Gruner Brothers Brewery, cigar pairings, food from Beano's, and live music by Rod Jost and friends. Put on your party shoes and head on down. It's the 108th anniversary of the PO News, May 11th. Sponsored in part by First Northern Bank and Sheridan Media.
Our 28th anniversary open house at Heartland Kubota is this Saturday, May 11th. Hi, this is Krista with Heartland Kubota. Come celebrate our 28th anniversary this Saturday from 9 to 3. See the new Kubota products for 2024, along with our subcompact tractors, zero-turn mowers, utility vehicles, haying equipment, and more. All with special open house pricing and financing. Come enjoy refreshments, prize drawings, and some awesome company from 9 to 3 this Saturday for our 28th anniversary open house at Heartland Kubota, 2450 Heartland Drive. It's going to be a party.
AARP can help you protect yourself against identity theft. Join us for a free document shredding event on Saturday, May 11th from 8:30 to 11 at the Sheridan Commercial parking lot. You may bring up to 4 large boxes of paper for shredding. We will also be in Buffalo from 2 to 4 p.m. the same day. Registration is encouraged but not required. Let the AARP Fraud Watch Network help you protect yourself against identity theft with the document shred event Saturday, May 11th.
Mossholder's Design Center is here to help you create a space that you'll love. If you're relocating, remodeling, or just refreshing your home, Mossholder's talented design team can help you through the process. With free in-home consultations, Mossholder's will be able to find the furniture and finishing touches that work best with your space, your lifestyle, and your budget. So if you want to change the look of just one room or furnish an entire home, Mossholder's designers can get it done. Mossholder's, furniture is our passion.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary woman who has shaped your life with a gift as unique as she is. At Legacy Diamond and Gems, they specialize in custom-crafted pendants perfect for your wife, mother, or grandmother. Also for the moms who have those beloved fur babies with a special place in their heart, choose a piece that shows her just how much she means to you. Because this Mother's Day, every mom deserves something as extraordinary as she is. Shop the unique designs at Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main Street in Sheridan.
Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. Joining me for the second part of the show this morning is the Vice President of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Rita Gary, and Board Member Dr. Victor Asher.
Good morning.
Did I say that correctly?
You said it perfectly.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
I want to welcome you both to the
Thanks
show.
Thanks for allowing us to be here. We're happy to be with you.
You know, starting off, you know, this is an organization. It may not be really new, but I know that there's a lot of people out there saying, who the heck is NAMI? So who and what is NAMI?
Okay, I'll give you a little bit of history just to kind of get the ball rolling here. Okay, so back in 1977, two moms, both of whom had sons with schizophrenia, and they were appalled at the lack of services. And they thought, you know, if our kids had, you know, some kind of physical illness, you know, and they needed, you know, rehabilitation, stuff like that, you know, why is this not happening for our kids? Why are they just, you know, they're just giving medicine, they're not giving them any kind of help. So they were angry.
Yeah.
And they got together. And that was back in 77, as I mentioned. And then they found some other people that felt the same way. So along around 1979, they started to form what became the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And the goals of that organization were and continue to be to provide support, advocacy, education, stigma reduction, money for new medications and new treatments, the things that these moms thought any human being that suffers from a mental illness of some kind would need all those things, just like we would do with any other illness, right? We provide the services that people need. And so it became it is now the largest grassroots advocacy organization for people with mental illness in the world.
You know, that's one of those situations, moms getting things done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Angry moms. Angry. They can get things done.
They did, yeah. Now,
and it's a fantastic thing because there has been a stigma surrounding mental illness since the dawn of time.
Right.
And it's something that I feel that our society is still fighting against all the time.
Yeah.
I had someone in here not very long ago who actually said, why do we not treat mental illness the same way that we treat cancer, heart disease, things like that?
Yeah.
And so to know that there's individuals out there motivated to try and not just remove the stigma, but to get things done as well is fantastic. How long has NAMI been here in Sheridan?
Okay, so there were efforts made in the early 2000s to start a NAMI affiliate in Sheridan, and it that didn't pan out. But along around 2021, the Center for Vital Community, they had the study circles. And, you know, one of the recommendations that came out of that, the group of conversations, was let's see if we can form a NAMI affiliate here in Sheridan. And so Rita and I were among those people that decided that we would help with that process. And so, yeah, go ahead.
So Rita, how long did it take to get everything kind of set up and organized? Because, I mean, yes, there's a national alliance, but starting your own chapter, how difficult was that?
It did take a little bit of time. This was coming right out of COVID. And while Sheridan was trying to form something, so were people all over the United States.
Yeah.
So NAMI was a little overwhelmed. And at the same time, NAMI Wyoming, which is our state level of this, was just getting reestablished. And so there were some time delays that wouldn't normally have been there had everything been already smooth all the way along. But now, 2 or 3 years later, National has it figured out, and our state is very active as well. So it took a couple months to get the paperwork, et cetera, and then another, I would say at least a good year for us to be feeling like we had our feet on the ground and knew what we were doing and started putting on activities in town to let people know that we're here.
And you know, COVID, the time of COVID, a lot of mental illness issues probably came to the surface with that. People having to isolate.
Yes.
Family problems escalating because you're in the same four rooms with the same three people for the next 6 months.
That's right.
Doc, what did you see out of that?
Well, I'll just say, you know, I'll remind everybody about the Surgeon General, Morty, I think is his name. He was talking about the increased levels of anxiety and depression and the challenges that to provide treatment in that environment of, you know, you can't really go to the office. And so what really happened then is Zoom became the main way people received services, both physical health and mental health. And that still continues. People still sometimes rely on Zoom for their mental health services. And it just, you know, the country did what it had to do with a bad situation. But you're right. There was a marked increase in mental health symptoms, mental health diagnoses. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because, boy, came to the surface. And coming to the surface in a time, you know, where you guys are trying to get this kicked off the ground. And so everybody else in every other state was like, you know what, we should do something about it. So I can totally see how NAMI was overwhelmed because all of a sudden everybody was aware of this stuff. You know, they started to realize that, hey, maybe mental illness is something that we all, in a way, are affected by or suffer from in some manner. This is a human thing.
It's a human thing. And I think particularly for us in Wyoming, because I think everybody knows that Wyoming has had the highest suicide rate almost every year. I think we're second or third now. I think we've made a little bit of improvement with the governor's task force and his efforts to try to improve mental health in the state. But I think the thing that is so difficult in Wyoming is the stigma. You know, we're a state that we're very self-reliant, we're very independent, and so people are ashamed, really, to seek mental health services. And that's a big factor in why our suicide rates are so high here. Yeah. And so reducing stigma is so important. And that's where NAMI comes in. We're stigma fighters, we like to say. That's one of our big emphases is trying to get people to realize, as you said, why should we treat mental health any differently than we treat physical health?
And you know, when it comes to that stigma, having that tough exterior, you know, my father, is 79 years old, and he's as cowboy can be. Spends the majority of his time with horses and cattle over people. But he firmly believes in mental health and mental health treatments. And so even the toughest, smartest individual that I know has always been an advocate of that type of action. And it, you know, is one of those guys, he just looks at you, well, I guess you need to go talk to someone, you know? And I feel like if we could get that mindset spread throughout Wyoming, there would be less suicide. Because what a horrible finality.
Yeah.
You know, to say I would rather do this than reach out and ask for help. And if we could get more people to ask for help, that would be best. So how do you guys go around and raise this type of awareness? What does NAMI do to promote this?
Well, we have done some smaller items, did some different movie things, gatherings. We did Halloween parties, those kinds of things to gather people together. As you know, just in the last couple of months, we did that education series where each Monday night we met and dealt with a different topic. And that worked out really nicely. We purposely set that up so that we would have topics that appealed to different aspects of society. And we feel like we probably touched base with between 150 to 200 different people.
Fantastic.
In the course of that. Yeah. And as we spread that message of this is something we should be talking about, and when we come together, we are hearing good, solid information. And in our lives, I'm really glad you brought your dad up, because in our lives, all of us know people who could use some support. And all of us are people who reach out. You know, if our neighbor, I don't know, needs a little extra loving care, we bake him a banana bread and take him over and chat with him, you know, that kind of thing. And that's the part that I think is the strength of Sheridan in addressing this, is we are people who care about one another and we know things. And the more we can learn officially, yes, this is what's going on in this person's brain. Yes, these are the kinds of treatments that are above and beyond only medication that can treat these kinds of things. Cutting down on that isolation, you know, have a card party at your house on Friday nights instead of each of you sitting in your own homes isolated. Those are the kinds of things that people can do and that NAMI can encourage. It really is a grassroots effort. We aren't bringing in hospital rooms at the NAMI level. That's our hospital level. That's our VOA level. We have good things happening in Sheridan, but NAMI can kind of be the group between them to make sure this entity knows about what this entity is doing. Because if we're each in silos, we're not doing as much as we can be.
Yeah.
And to get the general public involved is when you get those moms and those grandpas who say, wait a minute, this does not have to be this way.
Exactly. And unfortunately, far too often, something terrible or tragic has to happen to motivate individuals. And we've had those types of incidents here in Sheridan, over in Buffalo, and they're heartbreaking.
Yes.
I would just like people to know we can get things going before something tragic happens. You know, let's start those conversations now. Let's reach out now.
Yes.
Check on your buddy today, you know, instead of I should have called it, you know. And so by having these open dialogues, it really kind of normalizes it. And I think that's what we need to do.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. We need to do that. And that might be a nice segue for me to talk about, you know, some of the signature programs that NAMI provides. And we'd like to have them here in Sheridan. And so we're hoping we can increase our membership so we can increase our volunteer base so we can bring some of these things. So one of these programs is called In Our Own Voice, where people who have had what we call lived experience with a mental illness, they've struggled with it for some period of time, and then they've come out the other side as a better, more healthy human being, and they want to tell their story. And so this training, In Our Own Voice, you know, gives people the kind of the talking points that they need to have when they appear in front of a group and they say, look at me, don't I look like a a reasonably nice human being. Well, I've had a mental illness. How about that? And I've recovered from it. And so I'm here to tell my story, and I'm here to take some of that stigma away. And I'm here to encourage you, if you need help, to go get it, because it'll make you a better person. And we don't have to live with stigma. We can get rid of that.
And it is work. I mean, it's work on everyone's behalf. You're not going to go to a psychologist and sit down for 20 minutes and suddenly everything's going to look bright tomorrow.
No.
It's work. Yeah. It's improvements. It's breaking cycles.
Yeah.
Let's talk about family to family.
Okay, let's talk about that's another program we'd like to get in Sheridan. And so that program is for family members who have an identified member who is dealing with a mental illness. And families struggle with, how do I best provide help to that family member? You know, what's the best way to communicate? And there's certain issues that'll come up. You know, how do I deal with them? You know, how do I encourage my loved one to take their medicine, for example? How do I encourage them to do other things that will help them with their recovery? You know, so what do I need to know about mental illnesses? What do I need to know about medications? What do I need to know about other therapies? All of that is covered. And the nice thing about family to family is that when you have a full group where you have one or two family members meeting with several other families, right?
You're not alone.
No, you're not alone. And you're talking with each other and different issues come up. Well, this is what happened with my loved one. This is what happened with my loved one. So they have that exchange, which really enriches. So we'd love to bring that program here to Sheridan because we think that there'll be people that could benefit from it.
And, you know, it helps so much because there might be a dad out there. Maybe he's a little, you know, thick through the surface, you know, like kind of a hard guy. He's used to working his whole life, and that's what he knows so well.
Right.
And his son or his daughter is suffering from something, and he doesn't know what to do.
Right.
And so in the confusion causes frustration, and then that just causes more problems. And so if a father like that understood, well, all I got to do is help my child in this way, uh-huh. You're bridging a gap,
right.
You know, a huge
right.
gap there.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that's a fantastic program. I would love to get more individuals involved to get this program here
yeah.
to help those dads and moms who go through that kind of thing
yes.
or brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the NAMI walk that's coming up. I've only got about 4 minutes left with you, and I want to make sure that we should get some people out there.
Yes, we should. Our NAMI walk really is being held in order to raise awareness of NAMI in town. We are doing good things. Those national signature programs are research proven to help people out. So we want as many people to come to this as can. I presented at the hub the other day, and I said, some of you are going to say, I'm sorry, I can't walk. I said, bring your lawn chair and sit in the Whitney Commons with us. Show your support. Young people, old people, families, everybody should come and say, we can do better for mental health in our community. It will be held on May 18th. Our time slot is set from 9 to noon, but the walk will actually start at 10. We do have a walk website where people can sign up ahead of time. I don't know if you have a piece of paper and a pencil handy. If you were watching Swap Shop, you probably do or hearing it.
That's right.
Our walk website is namiwalks.org/Sheridan. And on that page, there are two buttons. One says register and one says donate. So if you would like to walk or if you'd like to support someone who is walking, that's your place to go. I would like to just emphasize there is a need for this in our community. I heard Levi Dominguez and Travis Koltiska talk the other day, and they shared some statistics with us. Levi said that in the state of Wyoming, 55% of all arrests are alcohol related. In Sheridan County, almost 70% of the people they put in jail are alcohol related.
Oh, good.
That is too high. We need to be doing something to help those neighbors. Average blood alcohol content on those people, 0.16, which is twice the allowable average. Just over 58% of domestic abuse calls are alcohol related. Mental health related, 117 mental health calls last year. That's more than any other category. We need to be reaching out to our neighbors. We need to be reducing this stigma. We need to be learning and talking about mental health.
And I think, you know, a lot of it is just that we need to learn together how we handle this as a community, as a family, as an individual, you know, because as I said before, confusion leads to frustration and frustration leads nowhere. And so coming together on this walk, we'll be able to see our community unified together, meet people down there that maybe you thought, wow, Jim, I didn't know you did this kind of thing, or I didn't know that your a family member or friend suffered from mental illness. Me too. And once you get that community start to get built, then things can progress forward. And I would love to get a lot of these programs here. I've run out of time with you. I am going to put that website up online.
Great.
And also, if someone wanted to volunteer, who do they need to call?
Oh, well, they can go to our website, which is NAMI Sheridan.
Is it that? I would send them to the Gmail, namisheridan@gmail.com.
All right.
That'd be the way to do it. And say, I want to volunteer, and we'll get back with you, and we will embrace you. I want to mention one other thing real briefly, if I have another 10 seconds.
Go for it.
We do have a support group that operates now, and it's called the Self-Acceptance Support Group. It meets every other Tuesday, the second and fourth Tuesday of the month at St. Peter's Church at 6 o'clock. So if you just want to participate in a support group, you can come to that.
Fantastic. Doc, Rita, thank you both so much for coming in this morning and helping us destigmatize mental health.
Thank you so much for having us.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Planning for a busy summer tourism season? Be prepared for extra business with First Federal Bank and Trust Cash Management Solutions. Our local cash management experts will help you streamline your cash flow and minimize risk so you can focus on delivering exceptional service to your customers. Visit efirstfederal.bank to contact our cash management team today. Make this summer your best yet with the help of First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank, member FDIC.
During this time of construction, don't forget to support your downtown businesses. Hi, this is Cassandra Foster with BHJ Property Management. Even though some of the streets are being worked on, the sidewalks are open so you can still reach all of your favorite businesses. From restaurants to retail, pharmacy to real estate, your downtown is still available, even though parking may be a little inconvenient at times. Century 21 BHJ Realty and BHJ Property Management encourage you to support our downtown Main Street during construction.
Listening to birds chirping, a creek babbling, children giggling, steak sizzling, or sharing a conversation with a loved one is pure joy. Hi, this is Elizabeth,
JT,
and Dr. Addison Dempsey with EBIA Hearing and Sound. May is Better Hearing and Speech Month. We invite you and your loved ones to take a proactive approach to your overall health and reconnect to the vibrant and beautiful world through better hearing.
Connection is a key to happiness. Enhance your joy, protect your mental acuity, and find ease in communication through better hearing. Our staff offers comprehensive hearing exams, tinnitus support, prescriptive hearing aids, and more.
Let's be healthy and happy. Celebrate Better Hearing and Speech Month with us.
To learn more or to schedule your appointment, stop by EBIA Hearing and Sound, 1273 Coffeen Avenue, or give us a call, 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
It's summertime. Time to roll. Better make sure your car is road trip ready. Midas Tire and Auto has money-saving deals just waiting for you. And listen to this. Midas has a state-of-the-art inspection process called a closer look. You'll get pictures and updates along the way, allowing you to track the progress of your vehicle. Ask questions and get answers straight from the technician. If you need repairs, get no interest for 6 months with purchase of $200 or more with your Midas credit card. Midas Tire and Auto.